Okay. Well, let's jump into just a few thoughts on kind of transitioning to a new year and kind of completing this idea of being in a place of receiving the gifts of Christmas or the spirit of Christmas and what's going on here. This is just a resource I've quoted a few times. I don't know if you're in the habit of supplementing some of your more other Bible reading or memorization with some devotionals. This is one I've been in for. I don't read it every day, but I'll just keep working through it over and over again. I've probably been through it two or three times in 5 or 6 years. But it's just encouragement, and you got to realize it's John Eldridge, so not everything is. He's not always as careful about these definitive statements that he makes. Overall, I think a good godly man who wants people to enjoy the Lord, but sometimes he leaves out fragments and pieces of things. They go, "Oh, that's kind of important. We should mention that." Some of his conclusions. So anyway, recently, this as I was thinking about what has God promised us. I've been in this section of this devotional, just thinking about this idea of what is our future, what is our hope, what is the completion of what God is doing, and what do we have now? What has been promised? That if we keep focusing on, if we keep remembering, if we keep clinging to, will move us in that direction. And so there's a couple ideas in this book. And one of them was, he said, I do not remember, early church father, second century, said, the glory of God is man fully alive. That was a quote from specifically in this book from Eldridge. And when I went back and did the research, that's not quite what he said. But the idea, if you have the right definition of man fully alive, it's a reasonable quote. If you get to define that, what it means to be a man fully alive, it's a horrible quote. Okay? There's this goal of God to have you be exactly and fully what he intended you to be. And if that's your definition, it's a really good quote. God is really happy. He gets a lot of glory when we are completely lined up with who he wants us to be and how he wants us to think. And that's thinking about him. It's not finding ourselves hiking 14ers, okay? That is not the glory of God if you hike a 14er. Now, you may enjoy that and worship him while you're doing it. But that is not the fullness of what it means to be fully alive, is doing, adventures or whatever. Crossing the border from Turkey into Georgia, we were pretty alive. And I get very nervous going across any kind of borders where Cindy is the most amazing person I know when she's in her own home. When she's out moving around, she's not as alert to things as sometimes. I don't know how long she'd survive in the wild. I'm just saying. So I have a big responsibility to say, okay. And they moved us into a place of separation, and my heart was really alive. And then whoa. And I didn't want to make a scene crashing through the Georgian. No, she's with me. They didn't care, and they didn't speak English. So we endured it. Thankfully, Brian was a little ahead of her, and we made that through. But anyway, this idea that what does it mean to be fully alive? What has God given us? What's this big plan of God that we can be directing ourselves towards now? Are we just waiting around? Are we just grinning and bear it until Jesus comes back? I think a verse that would tee this up well is John 10:10. I love the language here. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's the agenda of the world. They're just takers. But Jesus said this, I came, this is his mission. What would you insert? If you weren't thinking of this verse, what would you insert? Why did Jesus come? What is his mission statement? Clearly, there's a seeking and saving effort to it. There's something that needs to be resolved, as Hunter led us through this morning. There's a sin problem. There's a justification problem. There's a holiness problem. But once that's resolved, what is the purpose of Jesus coming? And I think this is a pretty good one. I came that they may have life. Certainly, it's talking about eternal life. But there is a way of life, a way of living, a way of expressing who God made us, intended us to be, that is part of his plan. It's part of his agenda. And have it abundantly. So you don't get salvation abundantly. You either have it or you don't. There is no volume. Okay, so that part cannot be talking about our justification. It is either complete or incomplete. Black, white, that's all it is. There is no gray area. You can't, I have a little more salvation. You can't have it. You either have it or you don't. You're not almost there. You're not going to lose it. You either have it or you don't. You possess it or you don't. This is talking about something that has a magnitude, that has a measurement that can increase. So what is it that God wants us to pursue? When Jesus said, yes, Father, I want to go do this. Let's go. Knowing full well, he was going to the cross and die. And still, in that moment, had joy because of this. We're going to accomplish something amazing. We're going to get the kingdom back. We're going to get the promises back. We're going after this. But we have to define, the pursuit of the abundant life. Is this where it gets a little fuzzy? Especially we live in a place where we can find our walk, you know, our moving walkways, they typically work. Now we can find a lot of ease, a lot of convenience, a lot of just, this life can be pretty good. So what is it? What is it? What's the target? What do we have to understand about access, the gate, the roadway towards this abundant life? And I think this is so key. Matthew 6, and this is out of a New Living. I just like the way it phrased this, just a slightly different than maybe you're used to. I think the essence of it is still clear. So don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. What do we tend to worry about? What do we tend to obsess about? Whether it's for health reasons or you're a foodie or you're a fashionista, what do you tend to talk about? What do you tend to think about? What do you tend to scroll through? And how much of that weighs on you? I have this, I'm happy. I don't have this, I'm unhappy. Where does that land in your world? I don't know. Maybe you're perfectly content. That's awesome. But we tend to say what I don't have and start to obsess about that. Whatever that is. Whatever that is. I don't have all the rest I want. I don't have all the money I want. I don't have all the things I want. I don't have all the whatever. Rather than what do we have and who do we have? Those things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. That's not your place. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. This is one of the key pieces of this pathway. We have to be in this place that he gets to define it. He understands what we need, and he's taken responsibility to make sure that we have what we need. Not what we want. Not what the world would tend to think about. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. He will give you everything you need. And there's this posture of allowing him to define some of those things. To cross the border from Turkey to Georgia, I did not need a moving walkway. So he didn't supply it. I did not need a working elevator. I didn't need anything other than to trust the one that he gave to lead me across the border. That's all I needed. Now, as a control freak, recovering control freak, those are not happy places for me. Somebody fix this! Is my flesh response when I'm going through a situation like that. And so we're going to just spend a few minutes here. We're just going to barely get started. But I just want to begin this journey, and we're going to do this probably again next week, I think, hopefully. I don't know what your tradition is when you unwrap presents in your family. We've done it in a number of different ways throughout history, growing up and with our kids. Everybody takes a picture or, you know, gets a present. You distribute one present. Everybody opens all at once. Or we're going to go in order, always the youngest to the oldest. I'm not sure why that is in our world, but that's the way it rolls out. And then and what you see is, oh, this thing. And then, there's another present. You have this kind of tension that forms between I have this thing in my hand and I can reflect on it or enjoy it or be grateful for it or whatever it is, or I could go for what's in door number two. And we're thinking, you know, this tension. What I would love for you to do as we walk through these verses is to just build a pile of these presents and to not just quickly move to the next one. We're going to have to just be timely, But to not just throw them off the side. No, when we did the same thing when our kids were little, because they get a little rambunctious and kicking their toys around, and stuff gets put under the couch, and so you can see the dads all going around with their either a laundry basket or a bag, being very efficient, and mom's picking up all the wrapping paper, and they're doing all the housekeeping. Like, just enjoy the moment here. It's fine. We'll sort out the presents again. We know what we bought them. We know where they go. But just kind of gathering all these things up. I would love for you to have that attitude as you go through these. It's just, I'm going to gather all these things up. I'm going to put them in a pile. And I'm going to reflect on them. I'm going to meditate on them. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they will be filled. There is no magic to the Bible. It's powerful when we receive it in faith, when we give it room. There's all kinds of people that study the Bible all the time. Zero power, because they don't bring any faith or trust or conviction to it. We have to bring that. We want to be righteous. There's three words here I'd love for you to be thinking about as you think about the next year, how to transition well, how to receive these gifts. It's to remember, restore, and renew. Our first responsibility, I believe, as followers of Jesus, is to be excellent rememberers. It's probably not a word, is it? It is the great call. It's why, and maybe it's not meaningful to you to have communion every week. We do it because it's really, really important. Not because it's flashy. It's really important to say, we need to stop and say once again, this is my foundation. This is my King. This is my Savior. This is who I am. This is whose I am. And give us an opportunity to do that every time. Whether it's an inspired remembrance, or it's just you and the Lord, or you read a verse, or however that works. It's up to us to be excellent rememberers. And this pathway towards the abundant life begins with remembering. Okay? If we're not going to remember, we will not get on that path. We will get distracted. We'll just fall back into whatever flesh, whatever the biggest crisis, whatever's happening in that moment, whatever the big mudslide is we got to resolve. If we don't stop and go, where's God in this? What is he doing? What has he said about this? And in that remembering, to recognize that God is working something out in you. He didn't just solve your sin problem. He's trying to create in you an image of himself that is coming closer and closer and closer as you live your life to that they will see more of Jesus. The way you respond, the way you live, the way your countenance, the way you greet people. All those Romans 12 attributes that the hunter let us in. He wants to keep drawing those out of you, building those into you, pressing those in, encouraging, equipping, training you to be more and more like him. And that is of your current life now. It is to bring renewal. It is to bring restoration. You have broken places in you that God wants to heal. Some of those he'll heal through doctors. Some of those will be better habits of food or diet or exercise or whatever. But a lot of them are spiritual. It's the way we respond. It's our emotions. It's the lies we believe. It's our own desires that get confused. But we have to be walking in this. And we're just going to hit one of these today before we break. We have to remember, and it starts with his promises. I mentioned this pre-service as well, our gathering. But if such a key piece of what we're doing with the memory project is giving the Holy Spirit that indwells in you the truth of God as easy access. It's just on your mind. It's there as you reflect on it. For years and years and years, I would carry note cards. The first summer I was saved, I memorized 100 verses in 2 months. I had to memorize a chapter and a half at the end to get it done, but I got there. I got to my... Those are still some of the most amazing things that the Spirit will bring back in. How many decisions God has brought back to my mind. The other thing that we really thoroughly enjoyed was a lot of our music was just scripture set. And so we were singing it, memorizing it. It's always on our mind. If you are not people of the promise, you will not stay on the path to the abundant life. You will be hoodwinked into thinking that the abundant life should be now and Jesus should give you everything, and if he's not, he's a jerk. And there's whole theologies based on that. Or you will think he's a jerk because he's not giving you one, and it doesn't have anything to do with faith in him. You just have an expectation of the abundant life, the fullness of life. Life fully lived is on your terms. If you think that and you're not rooting it in promises, you will be disappointed and you will get off that path. It's just a reality. It's the way the universe works. It's the way the spiritual world works. If you are not walking in what God says is true, you will fall away from his plan for who you are and what he intends you to be. And your view of the abundant life will take over, and it probably will not coalesce very well with his. And you're gonna make decisions that he's the problem. The scripture is the problem. God forbid it would be us. That our expectations or hopes might be rooted in our own flesh or something worse. We have to be a people of the promises. If you want to stay on that life, if you want to have that remembering the promises is an amazing place to start. Just read a couple of verses here. This is the foundation, okay? 2 Peter 1, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That is a really big, thick, profound promise. Where do you line up on that? What do you feel like you need to take control of or cut out of the Bible because it's inconvenient for you or it's unpleasant? His divine power, the very power of God, who said tree, and there was a tree, says, I've given you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which that same power, that same godliness, that same knowledge has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Was Jesus fully alive? Did he live an abundant life? So we can just kind of scratch off that it's going to be easy peasy, right? It's going to be some things that require faith and challenge and might be physically unpleasant. I think he fully lived. I think he did. Why is that important? This next part of this promise. So that through them, through what? The very great, precious promises, you become partakers of the divine nature. This is the goal of that abundant life. It is to become more and more and more like God. That's the agenda. You were created in your original design to be in his image, like him. Not exactly like him. You don't have his power. There's things that aren't true of you that are true of God. But this perfect, it is very good picture that he created, wove out of dust, kissed into life, was to bear his image, to be like him. The goal of the gospel, the goal of the promise, these promises that as we follow him, we will move that direction, that renewal, that restoration. We'll move away from the deeds of the flesh as we sow to the Spirit. As we move towards him, we will actually start to change into being more and more his image bearer. And then we'll hit the speed bumps and go, I don't like that part of the Bible. That's an inconvenience to me to be a suffering servant. Well, it's kind of the deal. This is what we're doing. This is where I'm going. You want to be with me? This is where we're going. But what I'm going to tell you is, if you want to come, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. And I've given you promises to cling to, that if you will hold on to those, you'll become more and more like me. You will be renewed. You will be restored. How having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So you have this counterbalancing force. And when you think about your goals for the next year, what are you looking forward to? What are you hoping for? Is this idea of becoming more like the very nature and image of God, is that somewhere in that picture? And I realize there's lots of really practical things, and there's health challenges. And dear sister, there's fights we're fighting, and they're heartbreaking, and I don't like it. But I know the very, very best thing. If the Bible is true, if Jesus was who he said he was, the very, very, very best thing for you is not to resolve your challenges. It is to become renewed and restored towards the image of God. It's the very best thing. Well, if only this happened, or if only that happened. No. I understand. That would be my preference. But that's not the goal. If you want the abundant life, it is tied to becoming like Jesus and bearing his image. And I'd love for you to reflect on that. Just set that present aside. Pull it out a couple times this week. Do I want this? Is this how I see my life? In spite of all the limits and challenges, do I want God to look at me and go, wow, you're making such progress in becoming like me? That's what I want. And I think that's ultimately what will give all of us the abundant life. So we'll stop there. Just set that one aside. Put it in your bag. Don't let it get kicked under the couch. And hang on to that this week. Lord, we are grateful for your promises. Pray you just continue to move us more and more to the place where we live and breathe in this knowledge, this righteousness, and in your great and very precious promises. In Jesus' name, amen.